We welcome you to this chapel service today, and I ask you to pause as we ask God to bless us as we gather together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Will you join me in our opening? This is a special time at Southeastern, and it's my pleasure to recognize and to welcome a number of visitors who are on our campus for the annual Chaplains Conference sponsored by the Home Mission Board. The relationship between the Home Mission Board and Southeastern Seminary is a very long and valued relationship. Among many of our common enterprises over the years has been their sponsorship and support of our mutual interest in the field of urban ministry and of church planting, which Dr. Bland and Dr. Braswell respectively have led over many years, and the specialized function of the Foreign Mission Board as the endorsing agency for chaplains is one which we have also cooperated over the years. So this is one of a series of annual conferences which are held on seminary campuses across our convention for chaplains in the area, including chaplains in correctional centers, chaplains in hospitals of various kinds, and including armed forces chaplains. I wonder if it would not be well if we would ask our chaplain visitors if they would please stand and let us give them a round of applause. Would you stand if you're our guest today? Now, it occurs to me that about this time a year ago, we were filled with a good bit of anxiety and concern. And I recall as school started last January, we were all very much concerned about our armed forces that were overseas in the Persian Gulf. And I suspect we have a number of chaplains here who were overseas in the Middle East at that time. I wonder if you would stand and let us give you a special recognition. Thank you. Leading our worship today is Burke Holland. I've known Burke over a period of years, and I'm delighted that he is speaking to us and leading our worship today. I had the pleasure of having his son David in class several years ago. Burke is a native of Raleigh. He attended State University for a time, but he soon saw the light and went to Wake Forest. Graduated from there, came to Southeastern, and attended the School of Pastoral Care at North Carolina Baptist Hospital. Received his DMin degree from Drew University in 1986, taking as his ministry project the development of volunteer chaplaincy programs in long-term care facilities. Many of us are aware of hospitals, of which there are about 7,000 in the United States. But sometimes what we overlook is that there are 17,000 nursing homes in the United States. Most of them are within some easy reach of a local church, nearer to many churches than hospitals are, and yet often neglected in the quality and quantity of ministry provided. For some 15 years now, I believe, Burke has led the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina, beg your pardon, my native state is coming out here, North Carolina State Convention as director of the Department of Chaplaincy and Language Ministries. He's done so with great distinction, and I have found him to be a person of courage, of wisdom, and of compassion, and I'm sure he's going to inspire us and challenge us in his message, which he will bring following the reading of the scripture. Burke, we're delighted to have you here. Call your attention to two verses in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 22 through 23. And the slave said, Master, what you commanded has been done. This is the parable of the dinner, of the supper. The slave said, Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the slave, Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled.
Thank you, Dr. Myberg. It is an honor for me to be in this place today. I thought as I came up on the platform, I believe the last time I was on this platform, as I came across to receive my Master of Divinity degree. Now, I've been where you are many, many times since then. But to me, it's a distinct pleasure to come and be asked to come to the platform. Al Myberg is a rarity in many ways. I first came to know him as he was a part of the School of Pastoral Care in Winston-Salem, serving with its founder. And he wrote with, my mind went blank. Dick Young, my goodness, Dick Young. A book called Healing, Spiritual Healing, which I read on a couple of occasions. And then as he came here, I found that as I was looking for a person to work with me in my DMN project, that Al Myberg was one of the few professors of pastoral care in our Southern Baptist Convention who has an area of gerontology, and an ability to teach and work with students in that area, which I found was not only unique, but is so needed. And so I was honored to have him as my faculty advisor during those days and came to know him even closer. These days, with the people who are visiting on your campus, are very important to us because it is one of the several events taking place around the United States on the various seminary campuses as the Home Mission Board presents this workshop for chaplains of that area. And so chaplains of the area surrounding this campus and the state surrounding this campus are gathered these days. And so you as students who are may have some questions toward chaplaincy, I hope you would feel free to seek out one of these chaplains and investigate and question those areas that you may have interest, because these are the authorities in the various areas of chaplaincy ministry, and this is one of the opportunities you would have to encounter them firsthand. One of the areas that I have taken so seriously in my ministry as Director of Chaplaincy Ministries of the Baptist State Convention has been this area of volunteer chaplaincy. And it's to this area that I'd like to use this morning's opportunity to address those persons preparing for ministry, and many of you who are already in pastoral ministries that are studying in this institution. What would you say if I told you that some of the most rewarding ministries in most communities are going untouched? What would you say if I told you that many pastors are totally overlooking some of the most urgent needs for pastoral ministry to be found in their communities? You may say that these are judgmental statements, but I would say to you that 16 years of serving North Carolina Baptist as Director of Chaplaincy Ministries has convinced me that pastors of all denominations walk daily through the midst of hurt and need and do not attempt to see it or feel it. In a sense, that's an indictment, but yet one I think we should understand. Jesus continually called his followers to search the highways and the hedges and to find the lost, the hurting, the needy, and to bid them come in that his table may be filled. All too often, the pastor feels that calling and duties are limited to the meeting of needs of only a few persons of a community. Many pastors feel that preaching, attending meetings of the church, making a few visits in the parish, running by the hospital, and performing some administration duties around the office are all that is necessary to meet the expectations of the church. But what of the expectations of our Lord? He made his expectations very clear. For we are to go into the marketplaces and search for the hurting. And when we do that, when we do this that he has commanded us, I know from experience that opportunities to use all that we are trained to be leap out from camouflaged places and beg for help. Many years ago, I coined a phrase which I began to use as I challenged clergy to meet these needs of their communities. I began asking them to extend their ministries into some of these areas of serious need and to make their talents available to their marketplaces. I recognize two facts about clergy. One, most are very busy. And second, most have invested years into training, that type of training that is urgently needed in some of these critical areas of most communities. I also knew two important facts that existed out there where the needs were. First, administrators needed professionals in the meeting of their needs. And secondly, most of the administrators did not have funds to hire professionals to meet the needs that were so pressing upon them. Thus, I have for many years requested persons like you here today to plan to extend your ministries from the pastorate of the church into the role of a chaplain, and to do so voluntarily. What are some of these need areas of which I speak? Let's first look at the area of corrections. Today, across the state of North Carolina, there are 96 state-owned prison units and many jails, halfway houses, and juvenile correction centers. The majority of the state prison units are small, housing about 90 to 125 inmates. These have no chaplain. Even though there are 52 funded state chaplains serving prison units in our state, the great majority of these smaller units have no chaplain. Yet, ironically, these are the units which house inmates that soon will be released. Time has proven that the former prisoners who make it on the outside are those who have come to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and take seriously their life in Him. We need ministers who will extend their ministry as volunteers into the correction units. Next, let me tell you about another area that is filled with need, that of the area of law enforcement. There is not a law enforcement department anywhere, police, sheriff, or state police, that doesn't need a chaplain. One of the goals that I had when coming to this position 16 years ago was to establish a strong law enforcement chaplaincy system in this state. We have done fairly well, but we have a long way to go. Law enforcement is one of the most stress-invoking vocations in existence. And as the crime rate climbs in every community, the law enforcement officers' stressors grow with it. If a rookie cop is married when he or she joins the force, chances are that marriage will not last beyond 3 years in law enforcement service. Law enforcement officers do not handle stress well. Their ranks are filled with those who have had heart attacks. Alcoholism abounds. Drug users and family abusers are common in law enforcement. This is not a put-down of law enforcement. These are the facts. I have served as a law enforcement. I have served law enforcement as a volunteer chaplain for 12 years. Thus, I know the situation. Chiefs and sheriffs are asking for help from clergy who will take the time to extend their ministry onto the turf of the law enforcement officer and get to know them, build a trust relationship with them, and become their counselor and their friend. It truly is a worthy investment for any minister's time and for the kingdom's work. Let us look at another area alluded to a moment ago by Dr. Myberg. It is a growing area of need of our country's elderly. Today we are in the greatest period of numerical growth of elderly in the history of our nation. From now through the age of 2035, the number of persons above the age of 65 will steadily increase. Persons are living longer, and a larger growth of our population following the Second World War will cause us to peak in the years of 2015 through 2035. There is one sector of the elderly community which I want you to focus upon. 5 to 7% of these elderly persons will require some type of institutional care before they die. The institutional care will come in the form of rest homes and nursing homes, and we see the numbers of these types of institutions growing all through our communities. Oddly enough, the elderly who need this type of institutional care receive the worst type of pastoral care from their churches and from their community at large. These persons begin to feel like modern-day lepers, as many of them are ignored by their ministers and their churches, and many are literally abandoned by their families. They are hurt that they need some type of assistance in the form of physical care, but they hurt worse because people withdraw from them. I cannot tell you of the reward that awaits the caring touch of a chaplain who will extend his or her ministry toward the least of these brothers and sisters of our Lord. The typical communities in which we live hold so many places where ministers can extend their ministry and touch the lives of people who never will visit their pews otherwise. There are so many hospitals, drug rehab centers, fire departments, emergency medical units, on and on I could go, naming the opportunities that await the caring hand that would simply reach out and touch. So many of the persons who we minister to in these places are not a part of the church, but isn't that where real ministry begins? I would pray unto God that those who are preparing for ministry in this place, those of you who are already involved in ministry, would take a look about you, lest you not see and you not feel. The lame man at the pool of Bethesda, who begged our Lord for a helping hand, lay in the shadow of the temple where some 20,000 workers went to and fro and worshipers abounded, and no one saw him. Extend your ministry and touch the needs. May we pray. God, our Father, our communities are filled with hurt, they're filled with needs, they're filled with suffering. We only need to be willing to stop and listen, to stop and see, to stop and touch. And all of a sudden, ministry opportunities flow from all types of hedges and highways and hidden areas of our lives. Father, forgive us when we prepare so hard to do ministry and then walk by it. Help us to be sensitized to the calling. And our Heavenly Father, as so many in this place have prepared over the past years and institutions like it, and have gone forth and have found these places, we know, our Father, they have been blessed and they have felt your hand of guidance. Thank you that we may continue to move from places such as this to the highways and the hedges of the communities in which you will place us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.